Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here. I'm just going to lower this a little bit. Maybe somebody could help me lower. Oh, there it is. Lovely to be here, and I bring you greetings from my church, which is in Edinburgh, called St. Mungo's, and we worship in a place called Salerno High School. But I've heard such a lot about what you do here from Shona and from Alan and from others in the church. And I hear your stories and I watch your progress and hear your prayers with great interest and great affection. This morning, Alan asked me if I would speak on disappointment. And some of you who don't know me, I actually like to speak on things like, let the joy of the Lord be your strength. And I like to speak about things like, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. And that's my usual sort of talks, because basically my role in church is to be an encourager. And so when Alan asked me to speak about disappointment, I sent him an email saying, you know, could I speak about the science of happiness or this or that? And he said, no, you have to speak about disappointment. And so without him knowing it, I've had to change the title a little bit, because he asked if I would speak about overcoming disappointment. And as I started to think about that, I thought that's probably about a six-week seminar. And I thought maybe in half an hour we couldn't quite do all the principles that would help us overcome disappointment. But as I sat with this feeling of disappointment, and as I thought, you know, what would be helpful? And God, how would you help us to understand disappointment? I suppose the title that I got was that there is a crossroads of disappointment. And I've prepared a little PowerPoint. I've told Diane if I don't stick to the PowerPoint, that's perfectly all right. So if she shuts that PowerPoint off, you know I've gone off somewhere. I've gone off one. So don't worry about it. It's not that the PowerPoint's broken. It's just that I've gone somewhere else. But disappointment is quite uninteresting. I mean, I was stunned by the number of Bible stories that we could explore from the Old Testament and actually from the New Testament, incidences when people get disappointed. And of course, the Bible helps us. In Romans, it says, they that hope in God, they that believe in God will not be disappointed. The Bible helps us in John chapter 14. It says, trust in God. Don't let your heart be troubled. And you see, there's something about disappointment that's a troubler. Disappointment takes us to a place of trouble. And I started to think back in my own life, and I started to think in the life I've got two grown sons and a husband and two older parents. And I started to think of, if you like, the times and the places and the seasons that we and I and they and you probably will find ourselves in a place of disappointment. And I started to see, of course, that we need to understand what disappointment is. And I want to offer you a little definition. The definition that I've come up with is, disappointment means to be defeated in the realm of hope. That means, as Christians, of course, we want to hope. They that believe in God will not be disappointed. And we know that faith and hope and love abideth. But when we're disappointed, we get defeated in the realm of hope. Something defeats us. A situation you are in, a circumstance we find ourselves, an expectation we had, and suddenly we're defeated in the realm of hope. And that's a very sad place to be, because what happens to us is we kind of lower our sails of expectancy. And we close the door of opportunity and we find ourselves in a place that we actually don't like being. Wave to me if you've ever been disappointed in your life. I'm actually convinced, although when Alan asked me to speak about it, I thought, well, who would want to hear a message on disappointment? But I'm actually convinced, as I thought about it this week, that probably we all need to learn more from the Lord about disappointment. So on the screen, I've got one or two thoughts about the place that I'm calling disappointment. Number one, disappointment is where expectation meets failure. And I started to see that there's times in my life where I have expected much. My expectations maybe of God, my expectations of others and friends and husbands and so on, that I am one who expects much. But sometimes when I expect too much, I get disappointed because some of those expectations are false expectations. So I might expect my husband to bring me Earl Grey tea in the morning. It's just that I'm waking up about 5:45 and he doesn't like to get up till about 7:45. And I know it is not going to happen. Disappointment is a place where expectation meets failure. And in that place, I want you to think of the places of disappointment that you find yourselves in. When we get that expectation meeting failure place, it causes us to withdraw. It's a mindset that takes us away from. It's an emotion that we are wrestling with when our expectation meets failure. You see, our expectations get floored. And then we have to wrestle, was that a false expectation? Was I expecting too much of that person? Was I expecting too much of God? Was I expecting too much of that situation? And that place, when we get to that place, is actually a very hard place to be in, because in that place we close the door of hope. The second place that disappointment can be described as, disappointment is a place of sickness. And you might wonder, well, do we get sick from disappointment? I actually think we do. I actually think, I work as a counsellor. My job in St. Mungo's is to be the director of counsellor, and I'm on the teaching team and so on and so forth. But I actually see people in my office who come to me with a sickness of heart that is caused by disappointment, and disappointment causes a sickness. And on the board I've got a proverb, Proverbs 13 verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is the tree of life. And you see, sometimes we're wishing and hoping, and sometimes we're wishing and praying, and sometimes we're hoping and praying and wishing and trying and working and believing. And then there comes a moment where we realize, for some reason or another, sometimes we don't carry the wisdom to know why, but our hopes at that moment are being deferred. It's like being put on hold. It means sometimes our hopes are being knocked sideways. You know, when you're put on hold, when you phone your bank and they say, we're just going to put you on hold for a minute because all our advisors are busy. And then down your phone you hear a wee song, something like, she'll be coming round the mountains when she comes. And you think, I don't want to hear that song. And we're put on hold, and that causes, according to the Proverbs, it causes a sickness. And I want you to think of disappointment, if you're a Christian here this morning, I want you to think of disappointment as a sickness of heart. And I got interested in that word sickness for you last week, and I looked it up in the Hebrew, and it's, the Hebrew word is kailau, and it actually, the literal translation of that word sick in Hebrew means to be rubbed down. I started to think of trainers, when our trainers are worn out and we lose our grip and we slide all over the place because we've been rubbed down, worn down. And some of you literally are being rubbed down and worn out by the sickness of heart called deferred hope, or that's the same as disappointment. And I felt that the Lord wanted to heal us this morning. I started to check my theology and think, well, can we be healed of a sickness of heart that disappointment causes inside of us? And the answer, I think, to that is yes, if we will open up our hearts and open up our minds and open the doors of hope once again. I think the answer to that is yes. The third place that disappointment takes us to is a place where fear rejects faith. You see, if somebody comes along and says, I want you to try again, and I want you to go again, I want you to hope again, normally inside of us, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. That sounds too hard, it sounds too far, it sounds too difficult, it actually sounds too scary. Andrea, I cannot possibly open the door of hope again, because I'm unwilling to close the windows that disappointment has caused in my temple, my body. And I'd rather sit here in a place of faith, fear, than move out into a place of faith. And I want us, I felt that my job this morning was to help you to understand what it's like to live in the land of disappointment. You see, I felt the Lord maybe has asked me to come here and call you forth, some of you. Some of you need to be called forth from the land of disappointment. And the land of disappointment is a place of sickness. The land of disappointment is a place of fear. And the land of disappointment is a place of hopelessness because we reject anything that's to do with faith. And the story, our Bible story that I want to offer to you this morning is taken from the book of Ruth. And I'm going to paraphrase this little Bible story because I'm presuming a little bit of knowledge just for the sake of time. But you know the story. I'll be speaking from Ruth chapter 1 this morning. And I suppose I could have told all sorts of stories. I could have told a Bible story about Joseph or a Bible story about Moses. Or a Bible story about Peter, or a Bible story about Paul. But when I asked the Lord, well, what story really fits with this understanding of disappointment, and what story, what word has already been written that would take us from the land of disappointment to the land of blessing, the land, Alan's praying in his prayer, the land of favor. What story fits that? And you see, my thought for you as I came here this morning was that if we stay in the land of disappointment, we can't possibly move into the land of faith. And we spend the history of our lives in a land of disappointment. But the sad thing is, it's a choice that we don't actually need to make. And you know the book of Ruth. And you know the story that in the beginning of chapter 1, this Bible story reminds us that there was a famine in the land of Judah. There was a famine in the town of Bethlehem. And two people, a man called Elimelech and his wife called Naomi, decided that they would sojourn in the land of the Moabites. And so they packed up with their two boys and off they went to live in Moab. It was meant to be a temporary move. It was meant to be a temporary place of sojourning, the Bible tells us. But as that story unfolds, and you can read it when you go home, the story unfolds that they get to Moab and Elimelech dies. The story unfolds to tell us that Naomi's two boys marry local girls, the Moabites, and one is called Oprah Winfrey. No, it's not. I find it difficult to read that word Orpah when I think of Oprah. But anyway, Orpah and Ruth married the two lads. And the story gets a little more complicated. They stay there for about 10 years. And then the two boys die and their wives are left without husbands. And in that moment, I want you to think of how disappointed they must all be feeling. They must have set off from Bethlehem with great hope. And suddenly Naomi has lost her husband, she's lost her sons. The two Moabites girls have lost their husbands. And in that moment in their life, they're in crisis. In that moment in their life, they must have been disappointed. They must have said, well, do you know, we never thought this would happen. And we're picking the story up, the Bible story. If you have your Bibles, I'm now in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 6. And we're picking our Bible story up in verse 6. And in the Message Bible, and I love this, I just love the Message Bible. But in verse 6 in the Message Bible, it says, one day she got herself together. This is Naomi. One day she got herself together. Another way of saying that in the Bible is one day she arose. One day she stood up. And I felt I had to sing you a wee song this morning. You probably know what it is. You know what's coming. It's from Bono. You too. You've got to get yourself together. See, one day she got herself together. You've got to get yourself together. You've got stuck in a moment. And you can't get out of it. Wave to me if you know that song. Don't say that later will be better. You've got stuck in a moment. And you can't get out of it. I see, one day Naomi got herself together. I mean, she was in crisis. She was in disappointment. She had lost everything, plus her hope, plus her protection, plus her provision. And one day she got herself together. And I started to think, what an amazing beginning to moving out of this valley of disappointment. And the reason that she was able to get herself together, she had heard a rumor. And the rumor was that the Lord was visiting his people in Bethlehem. And the rumor was there was food in Bethlehem. And she heard a rumor. And I want you to understand that when we hear what God is doing, I could tell you stories. I'm just back from Cambodia and Vietnam, and I was ministering to the underground church there. And I could spend our whole morning telling you stories of what God is doing. And she heard that God was providing food. God was blessing. God was touching his people once again in Bethlehem. So she got herself together based on the rumor that God was blessing his people. And she decided to arise. And you see, on the board, I've put a thought there on the board that things that lead us there shouldn't trap us there. You see, we could ponder as to why she got trapped or why she even went to the land of disappointment. If I'd been her counselor, if Naomi was coming to my office, I might say, Naomi, why did you go to Moab? Why did you go to that land? Because God had cursed that land and God had forbidden people to kind of be friends with those sort of Moabites. And I could have said, Naomi, why did you do that? And we know that she went there because of fear, because of famine. Maybe because she thought of fortune, fame. And sometimes in my office, I see people who get themselves into a situation. And then they get stuck in a moment in the land of disappointment. And sometimes I am curious as to why on earth did they go to that situation, that country, that land, that people, that nightclub, that bar. Why did they go there in the first place? And we could ponder that in her life, and we could ponder that in our own lives. But it's important to realize there comes a moment, if we want to get out of the land of disappointment, there comes a moment where we've got to get ourselves together. There comes a moment where we have to set out. There comes a moment where we have to stand up. Otherwise, we would stay in the land of disappointment. And the sad thing about that is disappointment's a temporary thing. Naomi and Elimelech were only supposed to sojourn there for a little while. We will all visit the land of disappointment. We will all get, for a little while, perhaps, to trudge wearily through the valley of disappointment, but it's meant to be temporary. We're not meant to build our houses and lie down in the valley of disappointment. We're not meant to stay there. It's a temporary place that God wants to teach us some things in the valley of disappointment, in order that we can move out of the valley of disappointment and out of the land of disappointment into the land of God's favor. And she heard a rumor the famine had ended. And I started to think of you, White Inch. You who come to this church. And I want you to begin to believe again for a rumor that the famine has ended. I felt I was to stand here. If I had had more time, I wanted to bring you a little clip about the BBC weather girl who gives the weather forecast. You know, I wanted to do the weather report for White Inch Church. And the weather forecast that I wanted to proclaim over you, the rain of disappointment, the cloud of discouragement, those seasons of disgrace are coming to an end, because tomorrow promises to be a beautiful day full of his sunshine. And I felt I was to proclaim a new weather forecast, a new atmosphere, a new picture as you move out of the land of disappointment towards the land of favor. I want you to believe there is a tomorrow for you. I want you to believe there is a building for you. I want you to believe there is a plot of land for you. I want you to believe there is a purpose and a plan for you. And that means inside of each one of us. You see, Naomi had to reposition herself. She got stuck in a land of disappointment. She got stuck in a moment. And she had to get herself together and reposition herself and turn once again to the land of Bethlehem, which is in the land of Judah. And here's my question. How do we get from the land of disappointment to the land of Judah? Here's my question. You see, Judah in the Bible is praise. And I think for White Inch, there's a journey that you're involved in, that some of you will move from disappointment to praise. And at that point, you'll move from praise to favor. And you'll move and you'll be in a different weather forecast and a different atmosphere. And what I want to suggest to you this morning, you're at a junction place. You see, I saw it as a crossroads of disappointment. A crossroad where there's a sign going this way and a sign going that way. And we reach a junction place and we say, do I turn that way to the land of favor, or do I go that way to the land of disappointment? And sometimes we get stuck at the stop sign of our junction places because we say things like, better the devil you know than the devil that might be over there. Better the people we know and the experience we know and the places that we know. And at that moment, we stay in the land of disappointment and we close the door to opportunity. As we ponder, we could ponder more on Naomi, but our time is limited. And so I want us to move on to take a moment to ponder just for a moment. What about Ruth? You see, the book of Ruth is Ruth's story. And I started to think, what about Ruth? You see, her husband died. I'm sure she was shocked. They had no children. Her father-in-law and brother-in-law had died. I'm sure she was traumatized. And in that place of disappointment, something was happening inside of Ruth. The Bible says Naomi got herself together, but then Ruth had to do something and Orpah had to do something. What about these girls in the land of disappointment? I'm very interested in human behavior. I'm very interested in the response of the human heart to God and to situations and circumstances. So what about Ruth? It says in the Bible that Ruth clung to Naomi. It says in the Bible, see, Naomi was actually quite a bitter old woman. I could tell you some funny stories about mother-in-laws, but Alan's told me I have to behave myself. Just in case. Hands up if you're a mother-in-law here in this audience. Yeah, I won't tell jokes then. It says in the Bible that Ruth clung. I want you to think of that word, she clung. She embraced. Naomi was a difficult old woman. She was a bitter old woman. And Ruth clung to her. And I started to think, as I was reading this story, why did she cling to Naomi? I mean, Naomi was a bitter old woman. But Ruth knew if she clung to her, that's where her destiny was. And Naomi's trying to bat her off. Naomi, as you read that story, she's going, you know, don't come with me. I've no future. Don't come with me. I've no husband. Don't come with me. I've no house. Don't come with me. You go back to your own people. And Ruth clung to that. And I think, why did she do that? And then Ruth says the most beautiful poetry that perhaps we can read in the Bible. And you've read it. Forbid me not to leave you. Because where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Please don't send me away. I want to cling and embrace my future. My future lies with you. And at that moment in the land of disappointment, she did the next right thing. Because Naomi was her family. She was that family. What about her sister Orpah? See, Orpah has a different response. Book of Ruth, chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. I started to think, Orpah kissed her future goodbye. We could say, Orpah kissed her destiny goodbye. We could say, Orpah kissed opportunity goodbye. And she went back to her own people. And I want you to see these two girls, they made decisions. One girl made a decision based on faith. That was Ruth. I can't see what Bethlehem's going to look like. I don't know how to get to the land of Judah and move into the land of praise, but I'm going to cling to my future and my destiny. And that was a decision made on faith. You can't see today what your future's looking like. You can't see what your tomorrows would look like, but you cling on in faith. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, and Orpah said goodbye to that sort of future. And I felt, if I'd had more time, and I just ran out of time this week, I wanted to go to a hardware shop. And then I couldn't find a hardware. I live out in Inveresk. Alan knows where we are. We're way out in the country. And I thought, I feel I have to buy 50 little Yale keys. And I wanted to go to the hardware shop and say to the man, could you just give me 50 blank keys? And I wanted to give you all a key as a symbolic thing. Sometimes symbolism is a prophetic thing or a metaphor. You see, my question is, will you be like Ruth or will you be like Orpah? And Ruth had the key of faith and Orpah had the key of fear. Because Orpah was too scared to press into the land of favor, she went back the way to live with the Moabites. But someone must have handed Ruth a key of faith because she went forward into the land of favor. And I wanted to go out and bring in, I nearly phoned Alan and said, do you have a hardware shop? And then I didn't know, is that where you buy keys? I wanted to. Then I thought the man would think I'm daft. I want 50 blank keys. What if he had said, why do you want blank keys, hen? And I'd have said, because there's a people in Glasgow. And some of them are living in the land of disappointment and God wants to take them to the land of favor. But they need a key of faith to take them to that new land. As we read on in our story, and my time is getting short, so we're moving on very quickly, I'm now in Ruth chapter 1, verse 19. And what jumped out at me as I was studying this for you, it says in my Bible, and I think we've managed to get that up on the screen, the city was stirred because of them. Now, I want you to think about this. I want to proclaim something over you. Here they were, these two ladies, full of loss and grief and fear, but they got themselves together. And they decided that they wouldn't dwell in the land of disappointment for another minute, and they would move and they would walk to the land of praise in Judah. And they didn't know what kind of reception they'd get. They didn't know what building they'd live in. They didn't know what job they would get. And here they go in a walk of faith. And the only thing they had in their hand was the key of faith. And they arrived in the city. And it says in the Bible, the city was stirred because of them. White Inch, the city will be stirred because of you. If you could move out of the land of disappointment and into the land of favor, the whole city of Glasgow could be stirred because of the faith and the favor that God wants to deposit on this little group of people. The city was stirred. Turn to your neighbor and say, the city of Glasgow is going to be stirred because of us. I think I might even have a picture of the city of Glasgow being stirred because of you. 2014, this is your year, this is your time. You do have a tomorrow. But you need to get yourself together and you need to get out of the land of disappointment and move towards the land of favor. And of course, it goes on in the Bible. They walk into Bethlehem. And the city was stirred because of them. And the people in the city said, oh, it's Naomi. And Naomi says, no, don't call me Naomi. The Bible says, call me Mara. Because the Almighty has made me bitter. I went out full and I have come back empty. Don't call me Naomi. Don't call me kindness. Because I have become bitter, I went out full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. And I wanted to see if Naomi had been my client. Naomi, God didn't tell you to go there in the first place. I wanted to say, Naomi, you decided to go to Moab. You left the house of God. You went to a land that you weren't supposed to visit and it became disappointing. And she's blaming God. The Lord took me. The Lord has caused it. The Lord has taken everything. And I have come back empty. I don't know how good an idea it is for us to blame God for decisions we make. I also wonder is when we wander off God's plan for our life, I wonder if there's moments of legitimate emptiness where it feels as if we've got nothing and no one left. No hope, no future, nothing. I had to go to do a little mission thing and I was in the desert of Sinai. And I was traveling from Egypt and then I was moving up to Jerusalem and my husband and I, we traveled through the Sinai desert and then the desert of the Negev. And I started to say to Peter, there's just nothing, there's nothing. And this is the route that the people, when they were out of Egypt, going towards the promised land. And I was saying to Peter, they had to wander in nothing for 40 years. And I could feel myself getting angry at God. And I could feel myself saying, why did you take them to a place where there's nothing and there's no one? Was their disobedience so bad that you took them to that place just to disappoint them? And I felt the Lord said to me, no, I took them to that place so that they would learn that there's nothing else to depend on except me. There's nothing else to trust except me. There's nothing else to hope for except me. And you see, they got into this situation, and now the old woman is blaming God. Psalm 42 helps us with this. David says, why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed? Why am I so disturbed? Why am I so downcast? Why am I so disappointed? He didn't blame God. He didn't say, God, look what you've done to me. I'm in the cave of Adullam. Look what you've done to me now. He said, why, oh soul, am I so disappointed, depressed, and downcast, and disturbed within me? And David's antidote for disappointment was put your hope in God. For once again, I shall praise him. I sense the Lord wants us in prayer this morning to open up a door of favor to get you out of the land of disappointment. The door of Acre, the land of Acre, shall become a door of hope. And it's something about knowing God's time and knowing God's preparation. If you're in the valley of Achor and you're looking for the door of hope, if you're in the valley of disappointment and you're looking for the door of favor, what is it we've to learn in the valleys of disappointment and the valleys of hope? I'll end with a story because I know I have to end in 2 minutes, but a while ago, 2 or 3 years ago, the Lord gave me a vision for a retreat house. And it was a house in the vision that I was to have so that leaders could come and couples could come and have couple intensive and retreat and so on and so forth. And in order to give God a wee helping hand, I thought I should sell my house in Crammond. And I said to my husband, we have to sell the house and we have to buy a retreat house. Okay. So we put the house in the market and we're marketing it, and our solicitor and our estate agent, and we're trying to market our house. And every Sunday, Peter and I would stand in the church together, and I'd say, you know, Lord, you know, hurry up. You know the house, because we're going to buy a retreat house, sure we are. And you better hurry up and help, because I'll be too old soon, and we won't, you know, just hurry up. And one day I'm praying my usual, hurry up, God. And God said, if you keep knocking on a door I'm not opening, you'll miss the door I want to open. It was as clear as that. And I went, yes, Your Honor. Absolutely, God, You're God. I mean, who am I? I'm just a worm. No. So I turned to Peter and I said, you know we were supposed to sell our house, Peter? And he goes, yes. I think God's got a better plan. We took the house off the market. And we did, you know that bit where you go, not your will, but my will be done. You know that bit? I mean, you've all been there. Wave to me if you've... This is a moment of surrender and you're laughing at me. This is a holy moment of surrender. This holy moment where we're stuck. We couldn't sell our house. Don't know why. It's a lovely house. Not my will. Not my way. Not my thoughts. But Your will and Your way and Your thoughts, because Your thoughts and Your way are higher than mine. Lord, not if this, if You could just, it's whatever You want, whatever You want. However, in Your time, Lord, not me, but You. About a week later, got a phone call a lady who from South Africa who knew I was an imago therapist, and she was an imago therapist, and she felt she'd go back to South Africa. Big long story, I won't tell you all. And she got to the bit and she says, not a Christian, not a Christian lady. He'll give you this house to use. And I said, pardon? Just use it. I feel you've somehow to use. I said, well, where's your house? So Alan's been out to my house. It's nice, isn't it? And God released a beautiful house, about an acre of ground. We do the clan gathering executive meetings there. We worship God. There even was a piano in the praise room. And you see, in the valley of disappointment, we have to learn something. In the valley of disappointment, he's preparing you to take you on the journey to the land of favor. In the valley of disappointment, he's teaching you his timing. In the valley of disappointment, he's teaching you his ways. Nothing will happen before its time. But in its time and season, there is an appointed time for everything. And we don't need to keep waving to God and pleading to God and, Lord, would you just hurry up? We don't need to do that. My experience is we just need to surrender. Lord, if this cup could pass, if this way could pass, I just don't like it this way, but if that's the way, not my will, if this is the way it is, not my will, but your will be done. Last scripture, Ruth chapter 2, verse 10. Favor shall overtake you. White inch, favor shall overtake you. White inch, as you move out of the land of disappointment towards the land of favor, here's what Ruth says. Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me? I mean, I'm a foreigner. I'm a Moabite person. And Boaz was her nearest kinsman. Think of Jesus, your nearest kinsman. Boaz gave her protection and provision. Boaz gave her destiny. Boaz gave her an inheritance. And she's confused about it. Why have I found favor? Why have I found favor in your sight? And why, Inch, I felt that you didn't need to do that much or anything that special to get God's favor or God's attention. He'll see you in a crowd. He'll spot you in a field. You'll stand out because his favor actually is already in you and on you. And of course, we know the story. Story is, she met Boaz and they got married and they lived happily ever after. And that's my story. See, the enemy has kept you in the land of disappointment. D-I-S, very powerful prefix, three B letters, disregard, disgrace, disloyal, dissatisfaction, disappointment, D-I-S. And we take authority over being dissed by the enemy. And we say, I am not going to be disgraced. I'm going to be graced by God. I'm not going to be dissatisfied. I'm going to be satisfied in his will. I'm not going to be disloyal. I'm going to be loyal to his way and his word in my life. I am not going to be disappointed. I'm going to today, white inch, receive new appointments. Today, open the door and say, we are open for appointments. We are open for business. We are open for salvation. We are open for hope. We are open for favor because we take authority over everything that has dissed us and kept us in the land of disappointment. Amen. I'm going to ask the praise team to come back. I'm sorry, Alan, I've taken
a little longer than I thought. And I'd like you to stand. There's a journey that we have to make today in prayer. And so, Father God, we just come as we are today. And Father, some of us are in the land of disappointment. And like Naomi, we want to get ourselves together. Just lift your hand if you're stuck in the land of disappointment. And so, Lord, you see our hands and you see our hearts. Father, we just want to be healed today from the sickness of heart that's rubbing us down and wearing us down. And I pray now, Holy Spirit, that you would come. I pray that you would touch us and heal us. I pray you would blow away and totally eliminate the mindset of disappointing memories and disappointing thoughts. I pray you would shatter shame and deferred hope in this place in Jesus' name. I pray that DIS would not exist in this congregation of the people of God. No more dis by the enemy. And Father God, we lift our hands to you in faith to make the journey to the land of favor. And we ask for the windows of hope and the doors of favor to be opened up, that new appointments in God would be released, and new faith and dream and vision would be ours. Lord, lead and guide us in your seat.